शुक्लाम् भरधरम् विष्णुम् शशिवर्णम् चतुर्भुजम् प्रसन्नवदनम् ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So we concluded with 546th Nama on Tuesday, and that Nama is Chakra Gadadharaha, one who is the bearer of the discus and mace. So Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma, generally you talk about all the four. Padma, the lotus, represents peace. The self within is Ananda, it is bliss. And when one doesn't know one's own nature, gives into desire. And the desire is nothing but the thoughts flowing from you to the world outside. And once you are into desire, then agitation comes. Whether the desire is fulfilled or not fulfilled, you go through various disturbances. So, Padma represents that inner self which is peace. And when the human mind moves away out of desire, a human being, you know, starts doing all atrocities, sin. So, the moment the mind starts going into the world outside, and you even go to the extent of doing adharmic things, then there is a prick from within, from the conscience. And that conscience is represented by the conch, shank. The conscience is there in everyone. But in some of us whose desires are too many and too much, too strong, the sound of the conscience is not heard. So if you don't listen to the conscience and you continue further into the sinful ways, then life itself gives you lots of knocks and shocks for you to mend your ways. That is represented by the mace. Even then, if you don't course correct yourself, then chakra, which is destruction. So, that destruction is for what purpose? That is also for evolution only. See, this is what we need to understand. You cannot do certain things being in human form. Somebody has tremendous terrorist vasanas and goes on destroying people. You're not allowed to do that in human form. So you probably have to go through certain animalistic embodiment for a while to get rid of all the, you know, violent tendencies and then get back. So this destruction is also for evolutionary purpose only. So therefore, Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma. Whenever you move away from the self, the conscience pricks, you don't listen to that. Then Gada, the knocks and shocks, you don't listen to that. Then there is complete destruction, which is a discus, which is a chakra. So Chakra Gada Daraha means one who has chakra and gada. A lot of people ask, you know, God is supposed to be all merciful and all kind, full of kindness. How can then he have all these kind of weapons? Weapons are only indicating to get us back on track from adharma to dharma. That's all. So, therefore, in fact, if you look at God, God is beyond both peace and violence. You can't talk about God as peace or violence. Something beyond all the pairs of opposites. So, Chakra Gada Daraha. Next shloka. Veda swangojita krishnaha brida sankarsha nochutaha varuno varuno vrikshaha pushkaraksho mahamanaha. Veda swangojita krishnaha ऋणसङ्कर्षणोच्युतः वरुणो वारुणो वृक्षः पुष्कराक्षो महामनाः. वेदाः, वन् हू इस् दि ओरिजिनेटर् आर् क्रियेटर् आफ् द होल् यूनिवर्स्, दट्स् वाट् दिस् टर्म् वेद हियर् मीन्स्. The Supreme, who is the expression of himself for the creation of this world. World is nothing but Brahman. Brahman expresses as this world. So, Veda here means the infinite truth functioning through the total mind, that is Maya, as creator Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha also means Brahmaji, who creates the world. So Veda means the creator of the whole universe from oneself. And that is what is the meaning of the next word, next nama, Swangaha. Swangaha means one who is oneself the participant in accomplishing works. What does that mean? It means self-instrumental. See, when you create pot from clay, clay is the material cause and the potter, pot maker is the efficient cause, and he uses an instrument, a wheel, to make a pot. So there is material cause, instrument cause and efficient cause. In the case of world, all the three cause, material, instrumental and efficient, is nothing but Brahman. So Swangaha, self-instrumental. So for the projection of the pluralistic world from oneself, there is no other material use, no other instrument use. He is the material, he is the instrument, and he is the efficient part. The knowledge is within. Using oneself, the whole thing comes about. To explain this, Upanishad gives the example of the spider. Spider spins the web out of the saliva from within. So spider is both the efficient material and the instrumental cause. So similarly, Swangaha, self-instrumental. Next, Ajitaha. Jita means victorious. Something that can be conquered. Ajitaha means one who is not vanquished by anybody. Unconquered. Nobody can conquer the self. Even the avatars of the Vishnu is not conquered by anyone. The material world, the body, mind, intellect, all are gross. Atma is subtle. So the subtle cannot be conquered by the gross. Ajitaha. One who is not at all conquered at any given point in time. One who has not been conquered by anyone in his various incarnations. Not just in incarnations. So you talk about Brahman directly without incarnation also. It's not something that can be conquered by your senses, mind or intellect. Ajitaha. And next nama is Krishnaha. Krishna means, he's talking about the avatara Krishna, who is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. So, Krishna means dark. That which is dark to us is the Atma, the self, unknown. That is what is represented by the nama Krishna, who was actually, as per the story, born in the in the womb of Devaki. And then he was brought up in the Yadava Kula. So, that Krishna, who is the incarnation of Lord Vishnu, that is one meaning. The other meaning is that which is dark, that is unknown to us, which is Atman. That Atman is what is represented by the Nama Krishna. And then Dridaha, firm, one who is firm in his convictions, in judgments. is extremely firm. There is no wavering. It's the mind that wavers. The self is always rooted in dharma. There is no question of wavering. You know. Always firm in establishing dharma. Always firm in establishing one's real nature. One whose nature and capacity knows no decay. That is another meaning. Dridaha. Extremely firm and doesn't go through any decay. Decayless. Sankarshano Achyutaha. Very interesting. Achyuta means one who is never fallen. And when he says Sankarshana, Sankarshana is one who attracts into oneself at the time of dissolution. All beings are attracted into oneself at the time of dissolution. All the manifestations go back into the Prakriti and again it comes back. This we have studied even in Bhagavad Gita. He says, me just being there, Prakriti brings everything out and takes it back into. I am just animating fact. So Sankarshanaha means one who attracts oneself of, all beings at the time of dissolution, cosmic dissolution, pralaya. And then Achyuta means one who is never fallen. So the beings come, exist and falls. But Brahman neither comes into existence nor falls. Into Brahman, from Brahman the whole universe comes and into Brahman everything dissolves at the time of dissolution. So Sankarshano Chutaha. So without falling into one's own, without falling away from one's own nature, brings about all these tamasha, withdraws all the tamasha into oneself and brings it back. This tamasha continues, but Brahman remains without falling. Then Varunaha. Varunaha means the evening sun. So the sun, you know, in the evening, becomes, it's not hot, it's cool, it's very pleasing. So the evening sun is talking about as Varuna. Now, very interesting here in the interpretation that I have here, says like the setting sun, the Lord withdraws all the pluralistic world unto himself. While the sun is setting, all the heat is absorbed into itself. Similarly, the entire universe is drawn into Brahman at the time of dissolution. Varuna. So when you are withdrawn into dissolution, the mind goes into unmanifestation. When the mind goes into unmanifestation, you remain peaceful. Like the evening sun, you will be in peace. Only when the mind comes again the problem starts. So therefore it is not to silence the mind, it is to go beyond the mind. Varunaha. Then Varunaha. Varunaha is actually talking about the great rishis, the Vasishtha and Agastya. The son of Varuna is Varuna. And the son of Varuna, as per the mythology, is sage Agastya and Vasishtha. So the great sages are the manifestations of that Brahman. So when the mind is drawn into oneself, then what comes out of it is only awareness that manifests as great rishis. So that's all he's saying here. Then vrikshaha. Vriksha means tree. In the Bhagavad Gita also, he talks about the samsara as the inverted tree, if you remember. You know, so the tree of samsara that has come out of Brahman. That is nothing but Brahman only is. Also another meaning like he is given in the interpretation given to you. One who is unshakable like the tree. And tree also is the place where the birds come to rest. And they eat all the fruits which are given in the given by the tree. So it's a great resting place for all the beings, Brahman. And tree doesn't discriminate whether you are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Whoever comes and gives shade and protection. So whoever comes to Vedas, knowledge, it gives them that knowledge and resurrects them. So therefore tree could also be taken as that great Vedantic knowledge. Firm like a tree which is unshakable. Vrikshaha. Pushkarakshaha. Pushkarakshaha means whose eyes are as beautiful as lotus. That's what it means. Pushkarakshaha. One who has eyes as beautiful as a lotus flower. Many times we have discussed this Nama in different ways. He gives this. So here the interpretation that is there in the book I gave you. He says, one who shines as the light of consciousness when meditated upon in the lotus of the heart. So, what he is trying to say here is, the heart, which is considered as a center, you know, when you meditate upon Brahman in the cave of your personality, that pure consciousness shines in that cave as light. So he therefore Pushkarakshaha means that light is what is experienced by the person who is in meditation. So therefore he says one who shines as a light of consciousness in the core of our personality and one whose eyes resembling the lotus. See, when they say, you know, when you look at the person's eyes deeply, you can make out what is the state of the person's mind is. So when the mind is turned introvert and it is merged in the self, that is what is represented here as Pushkarakshaha. Then Mahamanaha. Mahamana means the great mind. Great mind. What is that? Nothing but Maya. One who has a great mind. Narayana, the Lord Ishvara, the Supreme Consciousness, functioning through the total mind. And therefore here, total mind represents Maya or Hiranyagarbha. Mahamanaha. And through that only the samsara is constantly projected. Creates the world, sustains it and destroys it. Therefore, Mahamanaha. Next. Bhagavan Bhagahanandi Manamali Halayudaha Adityo Jyotiradityaha Sahishnurgati Sattamaha Bhagavan Bhagahanandi Manamali Halayudaha Adityo Jyotiraditya Sahishnur Gati Sattamaha. Bhagavan. The Bhagavad Gita also we say Sri Bhagavan Vacha. So you call somebody as Bhagavan who has six great glories. And all these bhagas are there. You call such a person as Bhagavan. What are those bhagas? Wealth, power, dharma, fame, character, knowledge, dispassion, etc. When you have these kind of qualities, you are called as Bhagavan. So, dispassion and knowledge. You should have both knowledge and dispassion. You should have the knowledge of the Atma and Vairagya, dispassion with reference to the world. And that is why Shri Krishna is called as Bhagavan. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. He has all the wealth. He was a king. And tremendous power. Zero desire, therefore tremendous power. And always dharmic, dharma. And very famous. So all these confers a person to be called as Bhagavan. So Mahavishnu is called as Bhagavan because the wealth in this entire universe is all his only. It's temporarily given to us. And we foolishly think it is mine. That's the problem. So the problem is not the wealth as per Vedanta. The problem is the mind attached to the wealth. We have discussed this many times. Even when he talks about the concept Lakshmi always remaining in his chest. There again we said, where there is Narayana, there is Lakshmi, there is wealth. So, all this is trying to say that it is not something that you hoard. It is something that you have to constantly set in motion. Wealth is something that needs to be distributed constantly. And the more you distribute, the more you get. That is how it is. If you keep X amount of money in your locker, it will be the same next year. But the value of it would have come down because of inflation. What you could afford to buy from that money this year, you cannot buy from that money next year. So you've got to set that money in motion. The minimum you've got to do is put it in some bank in fixed deposit or something. Because they will set that money into motion. And they will make more interest out of it and they'll give you few percentage out of it to you. So at least you will beat the inflation. So when the money is constantly set in motion, which means what? It should be used for the welfare of everyone. You understand? If you hold it, you lose it. The value of the money also goes. It's very simple, but yet a lot of people do not understand. They think it is hoarding. No, it is not hoarding. So, Bhagavan means one has all the wealth and power and yet detached. Absolutely knowledgeable of the truth, remaining in dharma without falling. That is called Bhagavan. So Mahavishnu is here called as Bhagavan. That's one of the names of Vishnu. Then Bhagaha, one who destroys again during the deluge, during the pralaya, everybody is destroyed. Everybody goes into unmanifestation and again coming into manifestation. This cycle is required for the creation maintenance to continue. Now, the leaves from the tree also falls and the new leaves come. And these leaves that go into the earth goes in and becomes manure. It's recycled. This is how the whole life is. So Bhagaha means one who destroys during the deluge. And Anandi. Anandi means one who gives delight. I think last Tuesday also we saw a quality where he says, one who gives delight. Nandi. Nandini. So, Anandi means one who gives delight. See, even when he punishes to make us correct ourselves so that we can move in the path of joy. So therefore, Anandi means one who gives delight. He himself is nothing but the absolute bliss. So what is inside only you can give. So since he is all blissful, he gives bliss. But for you to experience the bliss that he gives, you need to drop the ego. If you keep the ego and go, you won't be able to experience it. That's why when you go to the sanctum sanctorum, you have to bend and go. The moment you lose your ego, you start experiencing the delight. Then Vanamali, one who wears always the garland of flowers and leaves named Vaijayanti. Now, here you got to imagine Lord Vishnu in Vishwarupa. Now, all these Pancha Bhutas and all these are worn by him as a mala, Vaijayanti. You understand? So this is what he is trying to say here. The five elements in its subtlest forms are worn by him, adorned by him. Hence he is somebody who is wearing this Vaijayanti mala. Hence he is called as Vanamali. And then Halayudaha. One who has the plow has his weapon. It's talking about that brother of Lord Krishna, Balabhadra, who used the plow as his weapon. That is another incarnation of Lord Vishnu. So Halayudaha. Also with Hala, we plow the field and cultivate. So the Halayudam represents Atma in cultivating ourselves towards the self within. It helps us to move towards the Atma within. Aditya. Aditya means sun, the sun god. One was born as the son of Aditi and Kashyapa. Also Aditya means Vamana. So who begged of the emperor Bali? The three steps. Aditya also means the sun, but here we take the meaning of Vamana for Aditya because next he immediately says Jyotir Aditya. So there for Jyotir Aditya we will say he is the sun god, the supreme, who is the resplendent in the sun, the Jyoti in the sun, Jyoti Aditya, the very vitality in the sun. Sun gives us light and vitality. So that vitality is actually the Atma. Sahishnuhu. One who calmly endures the pace of opposites. All this joy, sorrow, honor, dishonor, censure, praise, pleasure, pain, day, night, all these pairs of opposites, you know, doesn't influence the truth. Is beyond all these pairs of opposites, physical, mental, or intellectual, whatever it may be. Then Gati Saptamaha, the ultimate refuge for all devotees. We take refuge in material world. We think all this in the material world can give us the solace, the joy that we are looking for. He says, no, the ultimate refuge is Brahman only. So those who are his devotees, they have understood that and they surrender to him. Those who are not his devotees, those who have not understood, they surrender to the material world and then get deceived. You know, everything which is not permanent, how can it give you that security? Not possible. So therefore, gati. Gati means goal. Gati sattama means the best, ultimate end for everyone is Brahman. That's what it means. Till you don't reach Brahman, you will not rest content. You will go on and on and on, but you will not rest content. Next. Sudan Vakanda Parashuhu Bharuno Dravinapradaha Divas Pratsarvadhyasaha Vachaspatira Yodijaha Sudan Vakanda Parashuhu Bharuno Dravinapradaha Divas Pratsarvadhyasaha Vachaspatira Yodijaha Sudan Vak. One who has this glorious bow called Sarga. So, It represents the sense organs and their activities. The bow called Sarga, which represents what? The sense organs are the bows through which the Atma expresses itself. Now I am seeing. When I am seeing, eyes per se insentient. They do not have the capacity to see. When the Atma enlivens it, they see. So therefore, Sudhanva means one who has got his weapon, the bow named Sarga of great excellence. And that bow is taken to be the senses and all their activities through which the pure consciousness expresses itself. Kanda Parashuhu, one who has the axe weapon called Parashu. So it's talking about the avatara of Parashurama. The Lord took the avatara of Parashurama, the son of Chamadagni. So that invincible Parashu, the axe, that is what he is talking about here as Kanda Parashu. Darunaha, one who is merciless towards the unrighteous. See, the avatara of Parashurama was taken to unburden earth of Kshatriyas, especially Adharmic. So Darunaha means one who is merciless towards unrighteous. So even in the Gita he says, to establish Dharma, I come again and again to destroy the Adharmic and protect the Dharmic. So Darunaha, the one who is merciless towards the unrighteous. So when you say all merciful in the sense, see, from the highest angle, it's very difficult for many to understand this, but it's actually very simple. When a mother is little strict with the child, it is out of mercy the mother is being strict. Because the child is someone who cannot understand the good and bad, for what is good for me, what is not good for me. The child will go with what is pleasant. A mother who has higher intellect knows, you know, that this is not good. And if the child is adamant, sometimes the mother has to put the foot down. So it looks as if the mother has no mercy, being very harsh. But actually, because of kindness and mercy, the mother is behaving like. So when he says here, one who is merciless towards the unrighteous, it is actually out of mercy. No? Not out of harshness. It appears as if out of harshness for others. But it is out of kindness only. Dravina Pradaha, one who bestows the desired wealth on the devotee. See, when he says, one who bestows the wealth to his devotees. Now, these kind of things, when you look at it emotionally, you will think, oh, if you pray to God, then you will be in his good books and you will be given all the desired objects. Here, very interesting, he said, one who lavishly gives wealth asked by his devotees. So from that, what do we understand? And he says, for the devotees he gives. From that, what do we understand? Are you there? Anybody?
Yes, sir. Could you?
And when somebody asks, like his devotees, people who are in his favor, good books, when they ask, he doesn't give just for the sake of giving.
Oh, that's what I said. what emotionally people think, understand like that. No. So if you pray to God, you will be in His good books and He will give it to you. No. What does it mean? Then very simple. All of us simply pray. This is not to encourage piggery.
Devotee is someone who has complete faith that what God gives for him is God knows better. So God will give him what is right for him, what is for his shreya, not necessarily for. It's not. You won't need to ask because actually you know that God will give you what is right for you. You have that complete surrender and faith in God.
See,
strengthen yourself from within.
Pardon?
You strengthen yourself from within. You awaken your within. And when you talk to God, it kind of tells you what you're doing right from wrong. You know it. You actually know what you're doing wrong. So when you tell God that, okay, I want this, I want that, you actually strive towards it or work towards it. And then you feel that God has given it to you. But actually, it is God. You are ultimately God.
See, in the poem, Abu Ben Adam, you know, Abu, the son of Adam, Abu Ben Adam means Abu, the son of Adam. He is dreaming, and in his dream, an angel comes with a book of gold. He asks, what is there in that book? All the people who love God, their names are there in it, says the angel. So then Abu asks, is my name there? Angel says, sorry, no. Then he says, write me as one who loves his fellow beings. And the angel writes, as Abu said, one who loves the fellow beings. And then left. Next day the angel came with another book, which had all the names of people who were loved by God. In that the poet says the first name was Abu's name. So from this poem, what do we understand? Who is a devotee?
Devotee is someone who will always do seva for whatever's around, whatever, whoever is around, for the good of the whole rather than the own selfish needs.
Simple, exactly. So therefore,
before you,
devotee means one who says, thy will be done, not my will be done. There's nothing wrong in having personal preferences or likes and dislikes. But you must not act on them. You should act on what is the right thing for the total. That person is called devotee. Not the one who goes and all the time sits in the temple and goes on crying and says, give me this, give me that. See, the temple, visiting temple, doing puja, archana, they all have different reasons, different purposes. But what people have taken to is, if I go to temple and do this every week, some puja, then I will be blessed with everything I want. No. The whole idea is, you got to rise above the desire. You must deserve. Vedanta says, you get what you deserve, not what you desire. And you deserve when you rise above your desires. You understand? See, very interesting. In the academy, the academy is run by this trust called Vedanta Cultural Foundation. We also have a trust in Delhi, Vedanta Institute Delhi. It's a trust. And one of the criteria that Swamiji has to appoint somebody as a trustee, he has few points, but one of the main criteria, can anyone guess? Who is qualified to be a trustee?
According to Swami. Service.
Pardon?
The one who does service to others.
One who does service to others. Then?
Who is not asking all the time. I mean, not asking for himself all the time.
One who is asking for?
Like, God give me this, or you know, the trust give me this. His own demands. He's not trying to just fulfill his own demands.
Okay. The simple thing he says is, whenever you appoint somebody as a trustee, main point he says is, that person whom you are thinking of appointing as trustee should have no desire to become a trustee. You understand? He says, the fellow has no desire to become a trustee, he is the most qualified to become the trustee. No desire in the sense, not tamasic. You understand? I would like to be a servant, not the one who controls everything. So, even when Swami Vivekananda went to Saradama, when somebody invited him to come and give lectures, he said, they are asking me to come and give lectures abroad. Do I have your permission to go? She said, she was, you know, cooking in the kitchen. So she said, please get me a knife. When he got the knife, he held the pointed side and he gave the wooden handle side to her. She said, you are qualified to go. Why? Even in a simple act, when you are giving an instrument, you are looking at it from the other person's angle. You are holding the knife at the pointed side and then you are handing over the wooden side to the other person. So you are only qualified to go and talk. So devotee who Lord blesses with all the wealth means, what does it mean? You got to rise above. Even when tennis match is going on between Nadal and Federer or anybody like that, both of them have come to win the match. But while playing, whosoever is able to control their desire to win, while playing, they perform better and win. Please understand this. It's a simple secret Swami Ramakrishna is trying to say. The way to gain anything is to lose it. So, the desire, you know, we have this desire. Are you going on asking? You are not a devotee. Vinade Shweta said, she quoted from the another poem, though she didn't quote the poem, he who knows it better than what it needed, he who knows what is needed by the person is God. He who knows what is needed better than a man like me, he says in that poem. That's what Shweta said. Whatever God gives is best for me. So which means what? You rise above your personal desire. You may have your desires, but you don't go to act propelled by your desires. You act for the welfare of the world. That person is called a devotee. Isn't it? So a devotee is one who has dissolved his ego or in the process of dissolving ego. Not the one who goes on for his ego, you know, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. No. So when he says, dravina pradaha, one who lavishly gives wealth asked for by his devotees. A lot of people think, oh, you are a devotee of Vishnu. Then if you go there, he'll give you. If you are a devotee of God, means whether you went to temple, you don't go to temple, doesn't matter. If you are living in this world unselfishly and selflessly, you are a devotee of God. You are not living to just feed yourself at the body, mind and intellect level. Just for oneself. If one lives and then says, I am a devotee of God, what's the use? So, see, devotee means, in the ultimate stage of devotion, what happens? Bhakta merges with Bhagavan. So, wherever there is devotion, that devotee is silent. Only Bhagavan shines through him. So his presence will not be known. He will not try to make his presence known. So when you quietly go about doing, you are a devotee of God. That's what he's saying. Dravina Pradaha. A lot of us are misunderstanding all these things. No. You've got to rise above your ego to be successful in life. Success comes to that person automatically. Devasprik. the sky reaching, all pervading, that's what it means. The Lord who revealed his universal form to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, the all pervading reality. You know, even in the beginning when we did the shlokas, meditative shlokas, Rupadav, he says, earth is the feet and heaven is the head. Means what? Brahman is all pervading. Divas Prik. And then Sarvadrik Vyasaha. Sarvadrik Vyasaha. One whose comprehension includes everything in its ambit. That is what is said in the interpretation that I gave you. Another book, it says, when considered as one word, it means one who creates many omniscient men of wisdom. One who encourages the spread of knowledge and thus turns out many men of wisdom and clearer understanding of life and the world. Sarvadrik Vyasaha. So, or when it's taken as two words in its interpretation, can mean one who is omniscient and Vyasa. Omniscient means all knowing. So, Sarvadrik Vyasaha means one who encourages the spread of knowledge and thus turns out many men of wisdom. So, all these great sages have come from that Brahman only. From the Brahman, the great men of wisdom come forth, spreading the knowledge across the world. From Vachaspatir Ayo Nijaha, one who is the master of all knowledge, Vidyas, one who is unborn through a mother's womb. Vachaspati Ayo Nijaha. Without coming through a mother's womb. Now, without coming through mother's womb means what? Jiva. Jiva has come through the mother's womb. So here he says, Vachaspati Ayo Nijaha. Who is the master of all knowledge? Who is unborn through a mother's womb? So, Brahman is not born of a mother. Brahman is always existing. And even when you talk about incarnations, avatara, see, avatara, the difference between avatara and us, what we need to understand is, we have taken this birth to exhaust the vasanas. Avataras don't take birth to exhaust vasanas. The fundamental difference we need to understand. They come to set things right and go. You understand? So, Maika Shariram and Kaika Shariram. Our Shariram is Kaika, bodily. Their Shariram is Maika. So, in a situation when things go downward spiral, suddenly someone appears there, sets the things right and goes on. Similarly, in this entire universe, when things go downward spiral in a dharmic way, an avatara comes and sets the things right and moves on. So if you see, it's very interesting. Many sages and saints visited this earth time and again, giving us this knowledge, moving on. So they are not born of a mother's womb. In the sense, it's not to exhaust vasanas. After having exhausted the vasanas, out of the environmental demand, they came into existence, set it right and moved on. So, Vachaspatir Ayo Nijaha. The Lord is Vachaspati because He is the master of all learning. He is Ayo Nija because He was not born of a mother. This forms a noun in the combination with the attributes. This is the explanation given in the interpretation I gave you. So basically what it means is unborn, all-knowing principle. That's what it means. Unborn, all-knowing principle is what is called as Vachaspatir Ayonjaha. Next. Trisa Masama Gassama Nirvanam Veja Shambhishat Sanyasa Krittama Shantaha Nishta Shanti Parayanam Trisa Masama Gassama Nirvanam Veja Jambhishat Sanyasa Krittama Shantaha Nishta Shanti Parayanam. Trisama, one who has been glorified by the three Samas. The Sama Veda, the divine songs in Sama. Sama Veda is very musical. So one who is glorified by the three Samas, the Samas, the musical Sama Veda. So the one who sings the Sama Veda, they are called the Devas, the Vratas and the Samans. So all these three he is talking about as Trisama. So glorified by the Sama Veda means Vedas. Yeah, all Vedas are talking the same thing. It's not that Sama Veda talks something else other than Rig Veda. Nothing like that. Sama Veda is given same philosophy in a musical way. That's all. So Trisama, Samaga, the singer of the Saman songs. One who performs the actions prescribed the Sama Veda and who invokes the Lord is called Utkata. So here Samaga means the singer of the Saman songs. Singer does not mean the singing. See, you are going on chanting Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu Sahasranama. What is the big deal? Anybody can do that. Nowadays you have all these tape recorders. You can switch it on to sing. Singers of Sama Veda means one who has imbibed the message of the Vedas and who sings it through their daily activities. So their activities are nothing but the expression of the Vedas, the message given in the Vedas. So Samaga. Then Sama, the Lord is Sama Veda. The very Veda is called the Lord. Knowledge is God. God is knowledge. There is no difference. God himself has become the Vedas. Nirvanam. Nirvana means ever liberated. Ever free. Always free. Never bound. The Supreme Brahman is always liberated. It is never fallen into samsara. It is we who think ourselves to be in samsara. Therefore, we need liberation. But when you liberate, you understand that you never fell into samsara. So, Nirvanam, the Lord is the very nature of ever liberated, ever free, always free. Nothing in this universe can bind the Lord. So, therefore, he says there is no trace of imperfection in the Lord. That is what he says. There is no sorrow and nothing. There are so many people dying in the battlefield. And Sri Krishna is still carrying on with his smile. Why? When so many people are dying, he is carrying on with his smile. What is it indicating? Anybody? What is that indicating?
That it's only the body that's leaving. Their atma still is there. There's nothing to feel sorrow. In fact, you're moving on one less towards liberation. One less jeev.
See, he is going on because dharma is being established. His smile is there because dharma is being established. Things are going. Of course, from the highest philosophy, everybody is beyond birth, death and all that. But from the relative level, there may be people dying, there may be people being born, but the satisfaction is because what is to be done is being done. Therefore, the smile is there in Sri Krishna, even at the time of so many people dying. Because he's always free. Consciousness cannot be arrested by this body. It appears as if it is arrested. Consciousness cannot be arrested by the mind. It appears as if the mind is contaminated and arrested the mind. Sorry, arrested the consciousness. It cannot. It is the consciousness that gives sentiency to the mind. So, this is the basic difference between the sciences and the spiritual sages. Spiritual sages, what do they say? They say, mind is insentient. The consciousness that gives sentiency to the mind. So, in deep sleep, you say when you are in deep sleep, you are unconscious. Then answer says, no. The consciousness is very much there. But the mind is in unmanifestation condition. So therefore, there is no medium for the consciousness to manifest. So, scientists think consciousness is an aspect or part of the mind. Whereas, sages say, no. Consciousness is beyond mind. This is the main contention. Scientists say consciousness is an aspect of mind. But Vedanta says, no. Consciousness expresses through the mind. Mind is not containing the consciousness within. So, Nirvanam. Beshajam. Beshajam means medicine. The best medicine for samsara is the pure consciousness. Or knowing the truth about your original nature. When you know that you are that consciousness, there is no question of falling into this jiva and then having this samsara and all that. Therefore, you will immediately be cured of this disease called samsara. Veshaja. Very, very specific cure for all these changes. All these changes are only at the external level, not for you. You don't die, the body that dies. You don't gray, your hair grays. You are beyond color. So, the moment you understand this, birth, growth, disease, decay and death doesn't affect you. You are cured of all the disease. Especially this disease called samsara. Biggest thing, you know, oh, I am this limited self, born on so-and-so date. And afraid of death, constantly suffering with this insecurity. So that's what he says, that insecurity cure is only in knowing the self. There's nothing else that can cure you. Hence Lord is called as Beshaja. Bishop. Bishop means great physician. Lord is the greatest physician that cures the disease called samsara. It is called as Dhanvantri in mythology. You know? Lord Dhanvantri in the Indian medicine system is considered as the presiding deity of all medical senses. Dhanvantri. So Vishnu manifested as Lord Dhanvantri. So that is what is referred to here, you can say, when he says Disha. Then Sannyasakrit. Lord is the institutor of the fourth stage of life, an ashrama called sannyasa, which is meant for those who walk the path of total renunciation. One who in his infinite grace gives the needed qualifications unavoidable for sannyasa. He says, the one who in his infinite grace gives the needed qualifications unavoidable for sannyasa. So sannyasakrit means finally the Lord makes everyone a sannyasi. When you know the truth, you will not be attached to anything. You may be in contact with the object, but mentally you will not be attached. So the one who instituted of the fourth stage called sannyasa. The moment you gain the knowledge, you become a sannyasa. Instantly you will become free because of attachment, non-attachment. So what is the test of development to see if you have gained the knowledge? How much attachment has reduced? To the extent you gain the knowledge, to that extent the attachment reduces. And when the attachment reduces, sorrow reduces. The sorrow world is capable of agitating you only as long as you are attached to the world. When you are not attached to the world, world cannot agitate you. Impossible. Next. Samaha. Calm. The one who exists without the mind running into the passions of the sense organs. When a person detaches from the world, the mind is not running towards the world helter-skelter. So it becomes calm, peaceful. When you gain the knowledge of the Vedas and you start executing, you start living your life as per the Vedic knowledge, you will develop more and more vairagya, a sannyas, and you will become calm. And the more and more your mind becomes calm, you attain shantaha, you attain the quietude within. The senses and everything are completely controlled, not running into the world outside for material possession as an end in itself. So, then you are called as a Nishta, the next nama. Nishta means one who is established, abode, the abode of all beings. Called Nishta, the abode of the entire universe. So you get established in that Brahman, which is the abode of all this entire universe. It's called Nishta. And when you are deeply rooted in the self, you will be in absolute peace. That is what is called as Shanti. One whose very nature is peace. When the mind turns towards the self, you will be in peace. P-E-A-C-E. The mind turns away from the self, then you will be in pieces. All our life is today is in utter confusion and agitations because we have moved away from the self. When we draw ourselves towards the self, we become peaceful. The Shantihi, whose very nature is peace. Parayanam, the supreme goal, ultimate goal. See, to even get this clarity takes time. Isn't it? When we are young, majority of the people don't come to Vedanta and all when they are young. There are different reasons for it. One main reason is, when you are young, your desires make you run in this world to make it big, to possess this and that. You are so much preoccupied. You hardly have any time. You are terribly preoccupied. So you think by achieving this, you will get it. By achieving that, you will get it. So you go on, on. And you may sometimes be successful also. And then you suddenly realize, oh my God, what I wanted, I got. But actually what I wanted from what I wanted, I didn't get. So then where is it? By the time you start asking these questions and you would have come to middle age or more than that. Life will give you that understanding, but also not for everyone, very few. Majority are still chasing, isn't it? So he says, Parayanam. Ultimately, the goal is Brahman, absolute good. Relatively we keep running, but to get this maturity it takes time. That's why you don't interfere in somebody's life and forcefully tell them there is nothing in this world. So what happens is, without vairagya from within, he will only be a confused fellow. At least in the world, people run and then they become successful. See, it's not dropping the action that we want. It is dropping the preoccupation that we want, isn't it? The mind doesn't drop its preoccupation. You may drop the action at the physical level. So a lot of people, in confusion, they're dropping the action at the physical level in the name of spirituality and religion. In the name of spirituality and religion, they think giving up is what spirituality talks about. Spirituality never talks about giving up. It talks about taking up the higher. When you take up the higher, the lower falls away. So, the initial stages, everybody thinks that if I get there, that will be fine. If I get that, that's the ultimate. And they go on, get defeated. Now, you will be successful, you will achieve many things, but then there will be something deep inside still lacking. You will feel that in spite of all this accomplishment, you still feel that you have not done enough. You feel secure. So then what is it? So he says the ultimate goal. Then you turn towards moksha. So the first three goals, what are they? Artha, Kama, Dharma. Last goal is moksha. So parayana means moksham, liberation, knowing the truth about oneself. That parayanam is one of the namas of the Lord. Ultimate goal. Everybody comes there. Finally, body becomes, body falls into some disease or something. And then you are not able to execute your actions as you did before. So you start slowly, slowly understanding that all the time that I invested in acquiring all these things is not the real goal, the real achievement. I need to know my true nature, what I am. So this has to come from within. Then it will be permanent. Otherwise, like I said, neither will they be interested in moksha, nor will they be dynamically acting in the world and becoming more productive in the world outside. So instead of disturbing them, just let them be. Slowly, slowly knocks and shocks and this and that will make them question, yeah, what am I doing? So much I'm running around and doing this and that. In spite of all these achievements, I'm still feeling insecure. Then what is that I need to gain? Gaining which nothing else remains to be gained. Then that would be my ultimate goal. All these things are not my real goal. So then I understand that the ultimate goal is moksha. Artha, kama are all very temporary goals. But the ultimate goal is moksha. So let's conclude with this today. 585. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Udyatmana Va Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Yadyat Sakalam Parashmai Narayana Eti Samarpayami.